Hi, everyone. Welcome to Season 2, Episode 47 of Sisters Coffee and Crime. I'm Sandra.
And I'm Christina. Today we're talking about Joe Methanine. He says he killed around 13 people, but was only convicted of 3. The murders happened in the Baltimore area from 1976 to 1995. We know that he killed Kimberly Spicer, Tony Lynn, Ingracia, and Catherine... We know that he killed 3 women, Kimberly, Tony Lynn, and Catherine. Let's grab some coffee and talk about these crimes.
Okay, so before we start, I just want to give a little trigger warning. This one gets a little bit gross, so just be warned that there is cannibalism and some other things in this. So before we go forward, if you don't like that kind of stuff, maybe skip this one. But let's go for it. So Joe Methanine was one of 6 children. His mother was Jean Methanine, and his father is unnamed. We have no idea
who he is. Okay.
Now, his father was known as, he's unnamed, but he was known as a hard worker, and he was this despite being an alcoholic. Joe's father did die when he was very young. He was 6 years old when he was in a car accident. I don't know if that's tied into the alcoholism, but that's all that I could find on him.
So was it that the mom just didn't disclose who the father was, or it's just kept out of the news
articles? It was just kept out of the news articles.
Gotcha.
Now, Joe's mother, Jean, she had to take care of 6 kids on her own, which is a big task. She had 3 jobs just to make ends meet, and she was a waitress, a bartender, and a food truck driver. Now, Joe says that he was neglected as a child, and with 3 jobs, I can't really say that that's very surprising. But Joe also claims that he and his siblings would live with other family members in like a foster-like arrangement. Mm-hmm. And Joe ends up telling people, actually when this first started, that his mother was dead.
Oh, okay.
But she's not. She's alive. She's,
okay. So he would just make up that story?
Yeah. That was just, he's just a big liar.
Okay.
Now, her version of events is that they were a normal family, and she says that they weren't well off, but they were okay, and that the kids never lived with anyone in any kind of foster-like arrangement. Jean says that Joe was a smart child, he was very polite, and he had a good childhood. She was quoted as saying, quote, "He was smart. If he was neglected, it was his own fault. It was a pretty good home," end quote.
It was a pretty good home. Okay. I mean, that doesn't sound very convincing.
If he was neglected, it was his own fault?
Yeah.
All right. I mean, he's a piece of crap, so I don't really care, but...
But that's just deflecting, right?
Yeah. I mean, the truth is somewhere in the middle. I believe that they were neglected. Obviously, you have 3 jobs. When are you supposed to be with your kids?
Yeah, for sure.
And and the foster-like thing, I mean, maybe there were family members living there at the time to take care of them. The truth is somewhere there. Now, at 18 years old, Joe joins the army, and he served a tour in Vietnam. But again, that's not what his mother remembers. She says that he was stationed in Germany, and that he never went to Vietnam. So, who knows?
Okay.
Now, while he's in the army, he becomes addicted to heroin. And after he returns from his tour, his relationship with his mother is pretty much non-existent. They don't talk for over 10 years. Now, after the army, Joe was still abusing drugs, and he begins to have issues with the law. He's arrested for things like disorderly conduct, assault charges, and it said that he would have got, like, he got into so many bar fights. And just to kind of picture this, Joe is 6'1 and over 400 pounds. So it's not a small guy. If he's coming at you, that's kind of scary.
Right.
Now, Joe meets a woman, and they are both doing drugs together, and these two get married. And a side note, I couldn't find anything about her besides her being a drug user. And some things that, like, Joe says about her. But according to Joe, they would smoke crack together, among other drugs. She ends up getting pregnant, and they have a son together. Now, in 1994, while Joe was at work, and at this point he's, like, driving a truck, when he gets back from his job, his apartment is completely empty. and she literally cleared the entire place out. Of course, Joe is furious, and he goes looking for her. Mainly, he says that he mainly wanted the kid back. Now, the baby at this point is 6 years old. So he starts looking at, like, local drug hangouts. Mm-hmm. And some of the people there say, yeah, she's with this new guy, and they smoke drugs under a bridge. And this happens to be a bridge in South Baltimore that is known for drug activity.
But nobody has an address or anything, or they no. Are they saying that they live under, like, homeless? Like,
I think it's just like they're there, but that's I don't true. Know if anyone actually has an address on them.
Right.
Now, Joe's, he says that he felt rage at this point. And it turns out that this other man that she's with, the one that she's doing drugs with under this bridge, he gets her involved in sex work.
Okay.
And the way that it's said is like he's making her do it. Now, before Joe can catch up to her, she gets arrested for drug use and sex work, and their child goes into foster care. And it's sort of ironic because, like, he says that he was neglected by his mom, mm-hmm. and then he admits that, like, he would drive a truck, so he wasn't really around a lot with his kid.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like
a cycle kind of thing.
Yeah. Right. Or it's like he's describing his kid's childhood when he's saying it's me.
Right.
Now, anyways, Joe can't find her, and like when she gets out, he can't find her, and with his record, he actually can't get his son back because he has a criminal record.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Now, he wants to find his wife and her boyfriend and kill them. So he goes to that bridge to look for them so that he can kill the both of them. And when he gets there, he finds two men laying on a mattress, Randy and Randall. And they were known drug addicts. And Joe asks them where his wife is. And the two men have no idea. Mm-hmm. Joe gets mad because he believes that they've done drugs with his wife and that they are possibly lying to him. So he's leaving. He's going to go. And then he decides to double back, go down the hill again. And out of rage, he says that, like, rage took over his body.
Okay.
And he kills both men and he chops up their bodies.
So he admits to this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, a little bit later that night, he lures a woman down there under the bridge.
The same day? Sorry.
The same day.
Okay.
He lures a woman down under that bridge and they do drugs together. He says that he got her there to ask about his wife, but he reports that she didn't actually know his wife.
Okay.
So I don't know if you put that together. She doesn't, like, it's not like she's known to his wife or something, but because she does drugs too, he's thinking maybe she knows where he is. Again, Joe gets enraged. He rapes and kills this woman. He does this again with another woman that same night. And it's the same story. Gets her down there with drugs. They do drugs together, rapes and kills her.
Wow. Okay.
Now, while he is finishing up with this last woman, mm-hmm. Joe notices out of the corner of his eye that there is a man on a boat fishing.
Okay. I'm scared to even know.
He picks up a metal pipe and he kills the fisherman.
Okay. So, I'm sorry. We think he killed, or he says that he killed 13 people. Was this all in one day?
No, okay. It wasn't. But he does say that in 7 hours, he killed 5 people.
In 7 hours?
In 7 hours, he killed 5 people.
Jeez, okay.
So he dumps the bodies. It's kind of unclear where he dumps the bodies. And some of them, he, like the women, I believe, and that fisherman he buried, and the Randy and Randall, the homeless guys, he put into the, like, ravine that okay. was there.
Right.
Now, 2 weeks after this, Joe gets arrested for the murders of Randy and Randall, the men that were on the mattress. Mm-hmm. And he spends 18 months in jail waiting for the trial. And so in that, like, the evidence hearing with, like, the pretrial, mm-hmm. he gets basically acquitted for lack of evidence. And he gets out in 1995. Now, he's out and he murders again. This is when he meets Tony Ingracia. He rapes her, strangles her, and stabs her. And it's literally a carbon copy of the ones before.
Right.
He rapes her and he kills her.
Okay.
Now, Tony's body was put near some pallets at a pallet company where Joe worked. And that's actually how he gets caught this time, because at the pallet company, they know that Joe was like the last person there.
Right.
They find the dead body.
Mm-hmm.
It must have been Joe. So he gets arrested for this murder, and once again, it gets thrown out for lack of evidence. So they never actually get to like the trial stage, because it's all like pre-trial.
Yeah.
Now remember, Tony's body was found at Joe's work. So when he gets out of jail, he goes back to his boss and he says, they were wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And he gets his job back.
Right.
And on top of that, he says, hey boss, you have this empty trailer at the back of the property. Could I live there? So his boss says, yes, of course, you can just live in the trailer. Now, this trailer becomes this sort of side business for Joe. He starts to sell barbecue pulled pork sandwiches out of it. It's like a food truck.
Okay.
And it's sort of a great spot because he has, like, the people from the pallet company, and it's in a place where people on the street are passing. So
right,
can...
so they could see it and
right.
purchase the sandwiches or whatever, yeah.
Okay, so now it's at this point that he kills Kathy Magaziner. He lures her back to the trailer, he strangles her, rapes her, he chops up her body. Now, at this point, Joe saves the meat from her body in some Tupperware containers.
Oh my God.
And he buries the rest of her body in a shallow grave. And it said that almost 6 months later, he dug up her remains and he takes her head and has sex with it. So the human remains that he put in those Tupperwares, well, he grinds it up and he mixes it with that pork meat. Oh. And he starts to eat the sandwich. And he says that human flesh tastes the same as pork meat. So it's great. And he also starts to, like, not be able to get more meat. So he's like, I know, I'll just start selling these sandwiches to people.
Oh, Jesus. Okay. Because that was my next question. I was like...
He's selling
it. Is he going to use...
Yes. Yeah. He's using the human meat to sell to people. And I read a quote from him that said, like, basically, he didn't feel bad for selling the sandwiches. He only felt bad when he sold it to kids. And I was just like, that's...
He's disgusting.
I hope none of those kids that ate it know that they ate it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm guessing that it was on the news, so it
would... I don't know why this case isn't talked about more.
Yeah.
But...
Maybe
because it's so truly disgusting that people don't want to talk about it. Now, he does lure the third woman, Kimberly Lynn Spicer, and it's the same story as before. He gets her there with drugs, he rapes her, he strangles her, he chops her up, he stores her meat, and it's to make sandwiches. Now, Joe isn't stopping. He lures another woman, and her name is Rita. He gets her to the trailer, and they do drugs together. He sexually assaults her. And Joe thinks that she's dead, but actually, Rita's just pretending to be dead. She thinks, if I pretend to be dead, maybe he'll leave me here.
Right, and she can make her escape.
And she can make her escape. And Joe turns around, and she does. She makes a run for it, and she gets to the police station. Thank goodness, because, I mean, he's over 400 pounds. I don't think he's catching up to anybody. Now, he says that after this one, he knew... Once Rita left and she was going to go to the police, he knew, I'm caught.
Okay.
So he literally sits outside of his trailer and just waits for police.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to read to you a little something of his confession. You can go online. His whole confession is there. It's literally him from beginning to end of what he did. So here's the little bit from his confession. They took me down and booked me. She had told them that I was going to kill her like the rest, which was true. They had me sitting in a little room down at homicide, drilling me and damn near kissing my ass, trying to find out what I had done. They pulled me out the city jail every day for 1 month, taking me back and forth between the company and the bridge. I had them going crazy over that company, digging up remains of those two bitches there. Because I had their remains buried in 7 different holes. The only thing I felt bad about in any of this is that I didn't get to murder the two motherfuckers I was really after, and that my ex old lady and that bastard she hooked up with. Well, that's my story. Horrible, but true. So the next time you're riding down the road and you happen to see an open pit beef stand that you've never seen before, make sure you think about this story before you take a bite of that sandwich. Sometimes you never know what you might be eating. Ha ha. Yeah. That is a quote. It's a really long confession, but that was just a little bit, just to sort of get you thinking, like, he's truly a disturbing and sick individual.
Yeah, of course.
Now, the police do arrest him. Obviously, they arrest him that night. And he gets charged with what he did to Rita. He gets 50 years.
Okay.
For that attempted murder and rape. Now, they can only prove that he murdered those three victims. And he gets, two more of the victims. And he gets a death sentence. But that was overturned, and he ends up getting two life sentences. Also, Joe said that he killed close to 13 people. I don't know if that was an additional 13 people, but it feels like he went through it, like, pretty quick.
Right.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he killed more than we even know.
So he was convicted of the three murders.
Right.
And the one rape and attempted murder.
Yes.
Okay.
And on August 5th, 2017, Joe was found dead at the age of 62. So I guess we don't have to worry about him being a part of this world anymore.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he got life, so.
He got two life sentences. He never would have gotten out.
Right.
I don't know why his life sentence got overturned, the death sentence. Sorry, got overturned for those two life sentences. But I feel like this one shouldn't have.
What's that?
Like, this one shouldn't have been overturned. I don't know why it did. I know it's like there's always...
It really doesn't matter because he would have died before he saw the death.
I just mean, like, I wouldn't be sad if he
died. No, I don't think a lot of people would shed a tear if he got death, but...
So that's it. That's the case of Joe Methanine.
Please follow us on Instagram at sisters.coffee.and.crime and rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. This is Christina.
And Sandra. Talk soon.